walking about, I like to make contact with people, but I know we mustn't. Can you hear all right there? The one thing I don't like doing is walking around with a microphone.
Don't trip up on the lead.
Yeah, go back on the lead. Keep him pinned down with the lead. Yes. I can't get to you, see. Messiah would be crucified or would die with criminals. Wow. When I was a teenager, I had a nasty bout of, I had a quinsy in my throat, which laid me low for a while. And somebody had given me a Bible, which is this one. A chain reference Bible by Thompson. And I took my Bible and I'd been listening to Handel's Messiah. And I thought, well, I wonder how much of the Messiah is actually in the Bible. And I spent several days going through the Bible, picking up all the verses that were there in Handel's Messiah. And it was absolutely fascinating. So fascinating that I actually coloured them in. So in this Bible, which is a King James edition, I've got purple shading over the references that I picked out from the Messiah. Absolutely amazing. Isaiah chapter 53, virtually the whole of the chapter is coloured in purple. Now, in Isaiah's time, and we won't get into how many Isaiahs there were, some people have suggested that he looked a bit strange because one eye was higher than the other. But for virtually the whole of chapter 53, you could read through it and find that Jesus or Messiah is there. But it must have meant something to Isaiah in Isaiah's day as well. So it's not just words that have to suddenly jump hundreds and hundreds of years into the future. It had a relevance to Isaiah. How about this? Chapter 53, verse 12. I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And then we go to Matthew, or Luke, and we find the account of Jesus on the cross with a criminal on the left and another one on the right. And we see how Jesus responded and how they responded to him. One of them just poured scorn on him, and the other one said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Today, you'll be with me." Where?
In paradise.
In paradise. Where is paradise? Is it to be found on this planet? No. Is it the same as hell? No. Is it the same as Hades? Yes. What's the difference? There's a big difference. I was stunned to hear a story this morning that there are still those Christians who are teaching things which are not right. Very, very sad. I mean, this, for many people, is a scary day. You know, we've got black balloons and we've got scary things over people's houses. Next door to me, there's a massive great black spider on the wall. And children go past and they can get, oh, that's really good. But other children would look at it and they're scared. And the eve of All Saints Day, which is where we are today, has been wrecked. It's been wrecked. It's been turned into something that it was never intended to be. Well, except it was intended to be that way by the people who've done it. But it's a travesty of what it should be. We should be looking to the day to celebrate All Saints, 1st of November. So today is Halloween, All Hallows Eve, but it's something else. Do you know what else is celebrated today? Especially if you live in Germany. Hey, a voice from the back. Martin Luther. Did you know that on this day in 15... I've got it down here somewhere. In 1517, Martin Luther nailed a piece of paper or parchment to the church door in Wittenberg in Germany, and he was trying to point out, and he did it pretty well, 95 little things that he wanted the heads of the church to be aware of. And one of them had to do with purgatory, because in those days, in 1517, there was a chap called Tetzel, and many others as well, who were going around the Roman Empire of the day, Holy Roman Empire possibly, selling pieces of paper, parchment, to help people spend less time in purgatory. To be clear, purgatory is not a biblical teaching at all. There's one verse in the Apocrypha that might actually apply to it, but apart from that, forget purgatory. If anyone's scared about purgatory, you have no need to be scared about it because it doesn't exist. But in 1517, people were paying a fortune to have a piece of paper so that when they got to the gate of purgatory, they could say, I'm only here for a short time, rather than a long time. And Martin Luther had started to read his Bible, and he had rediscovered that we can be made right with God through faith alone, not by works. And that was a ray of sunshine to Martin Luther, and that's the beginning of what's called the Reformation, which actually enabled us to have a Bible in our own language. So today is Reformation Day, and if you live in Germany, it's a national holiday. Interesting. Did you know it was Reformation Day? Reformation Day. In other words, get made right. That is what today is about as well, which I think is more positive than Halloween. We've sung some amazing things today, and the one that we didn't sing, the one that we listened to as Gordon was reading it out, has got some lovely words in it. You spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. Wow. Amazing stuff. And if the stars will worship you, Lord, so will I. Is that good news?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it good news to know that today, through the Junction prayer list that I've got in front of me, did you know that today we're praying for the lonely, bereaved and estranged?
Yes.
Yeah. And a few days ago, you were praying for Alan and Sue Warden, and I want to say thank you. Sue says thank you. She's recovering from her surgery, although she's taking it very easy. But looking around, it's so good to see people in the flesh rather than on a little screen. Yeah. Even though when you're on the screen, you look a lot bigger than you do now. But it's good to be with people. isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I look around and see people, we've been through some rough times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we as a family have been through some rough times. But usually at the end of a service, you can get these three words coming together: grace, mercy, and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. And may it be made real in your experience through the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is involved in grace, mercy, and peace. Is that good? Grace, God's riches made available to us at Christ's expense, if you want the acrostic. God's riches at Christ's expense. What does mercy convey to you? See, what was going on at the crucifixion when Jesus was dealing with the thief who was responsive to him? Jesus was being merciful. What does mercy feel like? If we're Christians today, then we have experienced already God's mercy.
Is it love and forgiveness?
Is it?
Love.
Love and forgiveness. It's associated with all kinds of positive words, mercy. Things like kindness, love. Things like not treating people according to what they deserve. Oh, you deserve this. Bop. Mercy is unlimited. See, what is mercy?
I've heard it described that grace is not getting what I do deserve. And, well, that's mercy, actually. Grace is not getting what I do deserve.
Yeah, grace is getting something better than you expected. The teaching in the Bible about mercy is not the same as getting let off. The thief on the cross died for his crime. God doesn't automatically take away the consequences of our sin. Wouldn't it be nice if you did?
Maybe, maybe not.
yeah, maybe not.
Would be good for us, but not necessarily for others. We might not think it's good.
Exactly. It might be good for us, but it wouldn't be good for others. So what is this business of mercy? I'll read that verse from Isaiah 53 in the Message rendering. Starting at Isaiah 53 verse 11. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, he will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly. The best of everything, the highest honours, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest, he took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. Isn't that nice? He took up the cause of all the black sheep. You know, folks, I don't know you intimately as God does, but you're all black sheep. According to God, we've all messed up in different ways, in different times. But God, who is compassionate, knows that and doesn't deal with us like that. But he wants to raise us up, not put us down. That is amazing. Amazing stuff. I was looking up on Google. Kindness is how mercy comes up in one little bit. The kindness that causes you to forgive somebody, usually someone that you have authority over. God has authority over all of us because he's the creator, he's the redeemer, he is the boss, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. He is the tops. He has the authority to put down, and he has the authority to raise up. In Daniel, we read that he raises up kings and he puts down kings. The American, this is not being nationalistic, perhaps it is, but the American idea of mercy has to do with luck. The American definition of mercy goes like this: something that is considered lucky because it's not as bad as it had been or could have been. Now, that isn't a biblical understanding of mercy, because God's mercy is for all people everywhere, and it doesn't come by luck. It comes through the cross of Jesus Christ, as evidenced by the way that Jesus dealt with that thief who was getting his just deserts. But Jesus said to him, "Today, you'll be with me in the face of the dead. You'll be with me. You may have been a bad person, but all is not lost." That's encouragement, folks. It's raining outside, but it can be sunshine inside. Looking around, in recent days, some of you have been through the pit. And we've been praying for you in different ways and at different times. Since we last met in the flesh, our family has been through the mill. Breakup of our youngest daughter's marriage. Absolute nightmare. But we've come through it, and God has been merciful. And many people have been gracious and loving and kind, and we're at peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. So how do we treat other people? Do we treat other people sometimes, and I'm speaking to myself here, do we treat them as that's where they need to be, rather than that's where they need to be? When people say nasty things online, when people take what doesn't belong to them, when people in the family are sick, really sick, have even died, how do we treat other people? Do we treat them the way that God treats us? Because that's what it's all about. And as we get nearer to Christmas, to remember that he came in order that we might be lifted up. That's a good gospel message. In the old days, in the days of the Roman Empire, mercy was not something that was usually shown at all. when there was a victory in the Roman army, the chief soldiers would be at the front on their horses, and the prisoners would be in chains being dragged behind, and the only mercy that they would be shown would be the mercy of the coup de grace, the cut of grace. In other words, to be put out of their misery there and then, that would have been a mercy in those days. The Stoics, do you know about the Stoics?
Yeah.
And the Epicureans? do you like Epicure? Pickle? Yeah, the Stoics and the Epicureans had a wonderful phrase that they were known by. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In other words, enjoy yourself today because tomorrow is the end of the road. So mercy wasn't rated very much. And the Jewish idea of holiness in the Old Testament, certainly, had a deliberately merciless approach to those who didn't know the law. If you didn't know the Torah, if you didn't know things like Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you didn't know, love the Lord your God with all that you are, and in Deuteronomy it doesn't have the bit that Jesus added on, which was love your neighbour as yourself. ignorance of the law was no excuse. And that still pertains in English law, I think. Ignorance of the law, tough. Yeah. For them, to keep the law was far more important than to be sensitive towards the weaknesses of those who failed. And the rabbis would be more concerned about how you kept the law, in other words, how many paces you were allowed to walk on the Sabbath without breaking the law. They would be more concerned with that than actually being in relationship with God. And that's what Martin Luther was arguing against. He'd had enough of the church putting people down rather than raising people up. And that's what the 95 theses were that he nailed on the door, the beginning of the Reformation. The Christian idea of mercy is not weakness. Some people think that if you're going to be merciful, if you're going to be gracious, then you've got to become like a doormat and other people will walk over you. That is not Christian humility. Christian humility is to be gracious, to be loving, to be kind, but not to forget that words have proper meanings and that we can be strong and humble at the same time. So we don't put up with anything. According to Acts 17:30, if you're taking notes, God overlooks things because he can. He can choose not to punish us for our wrongdoing. So in the Psalms, we read that wonderful bit which I think Corrie ten Boom put in her book. God buries our sin in the deepest possible place in the ocean and puts up a sign saying no fishing. Isn't that a lovely picture? No fishing. Our sin has been dealt with. Not will be dealt with, but it has been dealt with. And until we recognise that, we're going to be burdened by carrying it around. Our conscience will be bothering us. And that's not how God wants it to be. So don't let some carry other people around in chains. And one of the wonderful things to release people from their chains is to forgive them. Forgiveness unlocks all kinds of wonderful things in people's lives. But it doesn't automatically mean that the consequences of their actions are forgotten. We have to wrestle with that one. Lots of people are in prison today, within themselves, not just in prison, but within themselves. Either because they've been locked up by somebody else, or because they've locked themselves up. So there is freedom in the gospel message. Amazing grace. How can it be? You know the story of John Newton, the hymn writer, the one who wrote Amazing Grace? In case you don't, just a quick recap. He was a slave ship captain. He was used to throwing people overboard when they died on his ship. And he came face to face with the risen Jesus, who turned his life around. And he wrote that wonderful hymn. Probably others too. Amazing grace, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? I could go on, but there are lots more purple bits in my Bible. Just one more I mention, Malachi. The end of the Old Testament. This is getting you ready for Advent. What's the subject next week?
Healing.
Oh, that's a good one. Malachi, chapter 3. Think about this in terms of the Jews who were looking forward to Messiah coming. The Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Why does gold and silver get purified? It goes through the fire to get rid of the stuff which is called dross, and the rubbish comes to the top and you scrape it off, and then you've got a better quality gold and a better quality silver. So sometimes God uses trials and tribulations to do that to us. It's a work of grace, believe it or not. But it doesn't necessarily feel great at the time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are gracious, merciful, and kind. But you don't treat any of us as we deserve. But you lavish us with your love. You pour upon us good things in the Spirit. And this morning, Lord, we want to bring to you those people who have wanted to pour bad things into our lives. Those who have done things to us, said things about us, treated us as less than we are. We bring them to you, Lord, and ask that in your mercy, you will reveal to them their shortcomings, that they may turn to you and ask for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for that picture of the thief on the cross who said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that in Jesus you remember us. You see us through him. So afresh, Lord, we submit to you all of our shortcomings and thank you that the freedom of your forgiveness is there available to us. Help us to treat others the same way that you treat us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.